In the world today, millions of people have never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never encountered the life-changing power of the Bible. They've never walked into a church. Some have never even met a Christian. Though the work has been underway for more than 2,000 years, there are still individuals, villages, and even whole language groups that have never received the good news, and they've never experienced the blessings that it brings to their communities, their families, and their nations. They live and die without hope, without God, without peace. But now, in this generation, we have come to the end, when every human being on earth must hear of Jesus' name. People from every tribe and nation are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Our global work toward this goal is not finished. The great commission that Jesus gave his disciples, we are nearer to completing that mission today than at any time in history. He said that we must go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. You and I have the opportunity to join this vision and to be part of what God is doing in hearts across the world. In looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we must take seriously his command to share the good news with every person everywhere. We can be a part of the greatest movement of God's Spirit in history. And God is moving. He is changing lives. He is setting captives free. He is transforming families. He is renewing and reviving churches. New churches are being planted across the world today. He is sending forth his word to the very ends of the earth. The harvest, Jesus said, is plentiful. And the workers, well, he is raising new workers up every day to go forth. In America, in Asia, everywhere. All that remains now is for us to join what God is doing. To obey his call. To finish the great work. Millions are waiting. Welcome to Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League. I'm your host, Dan Jarvis. The most important thing that you or I could ever do on this earth is to share the gospel. There are many things we can do in heaven, probably better than we could do them on earth, if you think about it. We could worship better in heaven, we could fellowship better in heaven, we could even serve God better in heaven, but the one thing we can't do in heaven is share the gospel with an unbeliever. That task, that Great Commission task, is left to us. And I, for one, don't want to be the kind of person who says that they're too busy for that or that they'll get around to it later. I grew up in a small church in Northeast Ohio, and in that church, I remember from an early age having missionaries come and share their vision. People from Africa and Asia and even people who were staying here in the States but had a particular mission field that they were going after. And as a child, that left an impression on me, and I always placed a high value on the Great Commission. It wasn't until I met a missions pastor from another church in my area who said that partnering with India Gospel League, in his words, it was a home run for a pastor. That piqued my interest, and I looked into it a little bit further. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. At that time, I had a burden for missions, but I didn't have very many personal resources. I wasn't a rich person. But India Gospel League gave me a way to make a difference in people's lives all the way across the world, reach people with the gospel who have never heard of Jesus before. And I could do that by sponsoring a church planter for $100 a month or helping a child go to vacation Bible school for just $1. And things that it was kind of mind-blowing to think that small resources that I might have in my life here could result in great spiritual change. A village that has been unreached for thousands of years where finally a missionary walks in, a church planter walks in and shares the gospel and then starts to serve people with the love of Christ. So this whole vision captured my attention. And as time has gone on, I've had the opportunity to travel to India to see it for myself. And believe me when I tell you, that experience of going to India and seeing the work there, that changed my life.
I had read about missions. I read the updates. I was already one who was excited to give to the cause, and I would encourage people to participate. But once I saw it, wow, everything changed. And from that moment forward, I started to ask, how can I use whatever influence God gives me to call more and more people into the Great Commission work? The Great Commission, when Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, or in the Gospel of Mark, he said, go and preach the gospel to all of creation. That commission is not something that is just in the hands of a pastor or a church leader or someone who's especially gifted to be an evangelist or someone who's far away in Africa or India. That Great Commission belongs to every believer. And so for me, I believe God has called me to own that commission, and I really think that that's the point of him leaving us here on earth, is that we are to own the Great Commission and say that we will not rest until that commission is complete, until every person who lives on earth has had the opportunity to hear the gospel and decide whether or not they will follow Christ. We certainly don't control what people will do or their decisions. We can pray for them, but those things are in God's hand. But you know, it's our responsibility to make sure that the people around us hear of Jesus, and it's our responsibility to make sure that in every community across the world, there is a witness for Christ there. And so if we learn of a region of the world where there is not a Christian presence, who will answer God's call to go to them? Average people, I suppose, but in God's economy, it's not about who's average or who's gifted. It's about who's willing and who's anointed and who's ready to obey. So my relationship with India Gospel League began in late 2009, and met Sam Stevens, who's the president of India Gospel League. My perspective of missions grew dramatically, and my desire to serve in missions grew dramatically. Now, the strategy of India Gospel League is a little bit different than, I would say, the typical North American missions agency. What I grew up with seeing in my church was typically an American family who would get a vision from God for another part of the world, and they would raise funding, and they would go and live in that part of the world and do their best to relate to people, to learn the language, to start a church, or to fulfill some sort of a mission there. What India Gospel League does is it networks with people who are already in India or Sri Lanka or other neighboring countries. It trains up native indigenous leaders for the church, and then they go out and they share the gospel to their own people, where they're already familiar with the culture, they already know the languages, they already know the challenges. It doesn't cost nearly as much to, just from a simple financial strategic perspective, it's much more effective to use people who are already there and who are already willing and who already know and have a heart for their own country to send them out as missionaries, as church planters, as pastors. And so that's what India Gospel League does. It provides resources. It partners people from the United States and also other countries with church planters in India, people who would say, if only I could give my full time to the gospel, I would go to these other villages and share and train and raise up new leaders and baptize people and lead Bible studies. And so an American Christian who perhaps could spare those resources, $100 a month, for example, partners with that Indian church planter, and because of that partnership, new churches are born in places where the name of Jesus has never gone before. When I was in India, I got to visit in three different regions, I got to visit with many of these church planters and see the reality of the work that they're doing and the power of God in accomplishing amazing things through these men. I remember running into a man in central India who had six churches or seven churches that he had planted and that he was currently pastoring in seven different villages, and he asked me to pray for him about his eighth church that he is now laying the groundwork for by going into an eighth village and evangelizing. And I asked him through a translator how he's able to manage all of this work. And he said that he has two or three assistants. They get on their bicycles and they go to these different churches once a week, and they preach the gospel and they share with people and they lead the churches. And then the next day they get up and they go to a different village. And that was impressive enough. I was already feeling pretty small, and I was already realizing my vision. Oh, I need to grow immensely in my vision. But then what he said next shocked me and confirmed the fact that I had not had nearly as much ambition as I should in the pursuit of sharing the gospel. This man in India told me that before he dies, he wants to be a part of 1,000 church plants. And I have no idea how he wants to accomplish that, but he's already on number 7, going on number 8. And I thought, well, he's doing a lot better than I am. This is someone who I wish I could be like. And then to learn that it's men like that that I could partner with, and that the resources that God has given to me, I could share and empower someone like that to go out and do that work in one of the least reached regions of the world. Well, it's an amazing opportunity. So it wasn't that long after that that I started helping India Gospel League in whatever way that I could, just raise awareness of these needs and these opportunities. There's a whole wing of the ministry that pertains to serving children and orphans. Many children are sponsored on a regular basis through India Gospel League's work. There are medical missions and there are humanitarian helps that come to villages after the churches have been established. And India Gospel League says that they lead with the gospel. They take the gospel into a village first, and as people accept Christ, then they bring in, through the church that has now been planted, blessings for that village, things that people may have never had access to before, like medical care or job training. So all of this to me was, well, it looked great on paper for sure, but when I saw it in reality, I realized that it was worth everything I could give to it. It wasn't long after that that I started serving just as a volunteer for India Gospel League here and there. And here recently, Sam Stevens and the India Gospel League team has asked me to host this weekly broadcast, just Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League, to extend this opportunity to more and more believers in North America so that as we come on board and we say, yeah, I'll pray for men and women who are out there on the front lines in the least reached regions of the world, I'll pray for them and I will share my financial resources with them so that we can accomplish what God gave us as a job 2,000 years ago to complete the commission, to make sure that from every tribe and tongue and nation, there is someone standing before his throne singing his praises. We get to be a part of what God is doing across the world in a region that it probably wouldn't be realistic for most of us to pick up and move there. And even if we did, we wouldn't be that effective in the culture. We wouldn't know how to reach people, and we wouldn't be able to go into remote villages and know the local dialect and eat the local food or drink the local water. But there are people God is raising up on the field in India who can do that. And all they need is our prayer and our partnership financially to get mobilized. And there's one other thing that they need. It's interesting because in America, we're used to our pastors being very well trained. In India, many of the men who are leading churches there are simply volunteers from a church. They watched a church planter come into their village, share the gospel, a church was born, and then someone in that new church had a vision for the village over the next mountain. And they went and they started a church. And as that has progressed then, generations of people coming to Christ, just like in the book of Acts. But through all of that, there's very little formal training that these men have access to. And so one thing that India Gospel League will do is take American pastors and bring them over to India and allow them to run training conferences for rural Indian pastors who are just starting out. And that's an immense encouragement to them. But I can tell you, as one who went on one of these trips, you stand up there in front of a room of 200 village pastors and you realize that although you may have more book learning than they do, they're the ones that understand and live the gospel. And really, when I was there, what I wanted to do was turn the tables and I wanted to sit down and have them share with me, because at the end of the day, I think they really understand what it means to follow Jesus. So as I look at IGL's ministry and as I consider all the things that they're involved in, and it really is quite breathtaking, and there's probably no way to describe it other than to say, hey, you need to just go and see. And IGL allows that. Americans are more than welcome to go on vision trips and just see what's happening so that they can confirm what God is doing and then bring that back to their own local church. Or you can also go and serve and be a trainer for village pastors, or if you have a medical background, you can go on a medical team. There's lots of ways to get to India, and there are many trips every year that you could be a part of. And so if God tugs at your heart at any point, I would say definitely call India Gospel League's home office here in Hudson, Ohio, and let us get you set up on a trip to India. Your life will change dramatically. And more than that, as we go week to week in these broadcasts. And if you miss this on the radio, if you're not always tuned in at the same time every week, feel free to go to our website where we'll post all of our previous programs and you'll have the opportunity to download those as podcasts. Listen in and use these challenges not just to pertain to your partnership with India Gospel League, which I hope you will consider, but more than that, my prayer for this broadcast is that people who are currently preoccupied with the things of this life and this world and even the church world in America, that they would be activated and engaged in the Great Commission. And God may call you away from India as a focus point, and maybe it's South America, maybe it's Africa, maybe it's the person next door. But if every Christian simply took seriously Jesus' command to go to the world and share the gospel, the world would hear, and the Great Commission could be completed in our generation. For 2,000 years, we've had access to this information, but still there are people on planet Earth who don't know Jesus' name, who've never held a copy of the Bible, perhaps people who don't even have a Bible in their own language. And it's to those people that we dedicate this broadcast and the work of India Gospel League. It's for those people who would grow up and live, struggle, and then die, never having the hope of the gospel presented to them. It is those people that we are seeking to reach and that we're praying for and that we're pleading with God to give us the opportunity to share with. You can be a part of this vision with us. You can serve, you can pray, you can give, you can even go. It begins in your heart. It begins with a choice that you make to lay down perhaps other priorities that may be important but aren't eternal. A choice to say yes to God's call. Yes, God, I will share this vision. Yes, I want to see the Great Commission complete. I don't want to be at the end of my life and looking back and realizing that I spent myself on things that didn't last. Instead, I gave my life and the best of my time and ability and the best of the resources I was entrusted with, I gave all of that for the cause of the gospel. You can join us at India Gospel League. The first step is to go to our website. And from there, you'll learn not only of the ways that you can participate in the ministry, but also you'll see updates from the field and prayer requests from missionaries and church planters and even children whose lives are being transformed as they encounter the Bible for the first time. There are many mission agencies, and all those that share God's word, we commend and we're excited to partner with if possible. But you know, I've been a pastor for years. I've served in ministry most of my life, and I have never seen a ministry with the heart and the strategy of India Gospel League that I could say without any reservation that it is a wonderful investment of your prayer and your financial support. Because what India Gospel League does is unique. I really believe that. One uniqueness that impresses me whenever I'm talking to India Gospel League, it's almost heartwarming because you think this strategy could really work. There might be a day in the near future when we say that the nation of India and even some of the nations around it have been reached with the gospel. The gospel is now available to people who had never heard it before. What India Gospel League does is they train church leaders, church planters. They call them barefoot pastors. And these men will go into villages, and India Gospel League will fund their ministry at $100 a month, but only for 2 years. And after that 2-year period, that pastor is responsible to have planted a church, maybe multiple churches, in such a way that he would have enough resources from those churches to continue on his ministry without outside help. And so everything India Gospel League does from a partnership perspective is temporary from the U.S. side, that we might help someone get started in ministry. But it's not a lifetime funding. It's we're providing the startup funds for them to plant churches in places where there are no churches. But once that work starts, we get to go and serve and help with someone else, and then that work continues. So it's almost like you get to spark wildfires of the gospel across the nation. And just my wife and I, we've already sponsored multiple church planters and also a few orphan children. And I've encouraged many of my friends to do the same. And we get quarterly reports from these missionaries, and we see what God is doing. And it's such a small sacrifice for us. It's just for the average American household to find, you know, $50 a month or $100 a month, we may have to give up some sort of luxury, but it's not. Usually it's possible to find that somewhere. And then certainly for church organizations, it's definitely possible. And to see what God is doing through our partnership, it humbles you because you realize that God can use you, the work you're doing, the resources that you have, the time and prayer that you spend. He can use that to reach places in the world that desperately need the gospel. Here's an interesting statistic about India, because there are many places in the world that we could focus our attention. And India Gospel League is just one of many great organizations. But think of this. 1 in 7 people on Earth, the whole planet, live in an unreached people group in India. So if there's about 7 billion people on Earth right now, 1 billion of those live in India with very little access to the gospel. So if we say we want to reach the world in our generation, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, where should we begin? Well, I would say let's go to the biggest target on the map, one that is also, interestingly, the world's largest democracy. And so the opportunity we have to go and share, and even more than that, to partner with people who God has raised up, who are already there and they're already leading, that opportunity is among the most strategic that I know of, if we're interested in getting the Great Commission task completed. Today is kind of an introduction. There's a lot more to come. In future broadcasts, we'll have interviews with people who've been to India, even field reports from people in India. We'll talk about the religion of Hinduism and how that affects people's lives and futures. And we'll talk about the economy of India and the crushing poverty there and the ways that we can help. We'll talk about what it looks like to serve orphan children or children that whose families are so poor that they can't be cared for and they have to come and live at an IGL home. We'll talk about what the caste system has done to the poor in India and how people live such hopeless lives until the day that a native missionary steps into their village with the life-changing truth of the Bible. And in that moment, everything changes. Jesus changes lives the same way he changed your life. If you're listening to our broadcast today on a Christian radio station, probably you're a Christian and you've had an experience where God has changed you. Can you imagine giving that experience to people on the other side of the planet? You can be a part of it. On our website, you'll find documentation of our strategy and how things work and pictures from the field, and you'll start to get a feel for what all this involves, and even see the opportunities that you might click on there to learn about what you personally could do. But I would encourage you to start not with a strategy, but with a prayer. And that prayer might go something like this: Lord, I am open and I am ready to accomplish what you put me on earth to accomplish, what you saved me to do. Lord, I want to be a part of the movement that changes the whole world. The Great Commission, the gospel. I want my life to count in that grand eternal vision. Well, if you'll pray that prayer, God will start to use you and call you into things that you never guessed would be part of your life. And here you thought you were just driving down the road today, minding your own business, and it could be that a few months from now you're standing in the streets of Bangalore, India, going, God, thank you for including me in something far bigger than anything I ever dreamed I would get to do. So let's pray. Let's ask God for the courage to take the first step. Father, we don't know what you have in mind for us personally, but we know that everything we're called to do in this world pertains to the fulfillment of that commission, that disciples would be made in every nation. Lord, to whatever extent you would allow us to be part of it, we're ready, and we don't want to take the responsibility lightly. We want to be faithful to your call. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray for your guidance and your wisdom as we go forward from this moment. Amen. This program has been furnished by the India Gospel League of Salem, India, and Hudson, Ohio. To learn more about our work and to join in the vision, go to iglworld.com.